Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Praise the Lord. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6. There is something that needs to be done regarding saving our families. Is everybody with me? What did I say? There's something that needs to be done in reference to saving our families. If the families are destroyed, our community, society will be destroyed. Family is the fabric or the cement that holds our communities together. But the reality is, families today are being destroyed. Amen? And this text shows us how to save our families. How to do what? How to save our families. And I want every parent, and if you have it, you have your Bibles, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Because if God is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. Amen? He has to be not just number one. He has to be number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six. In other words, He has to be everything. God does not want a number. Hey, God, take a number. No, He wants to be everything. Somebody say everything. And as we dedicate little Joseph Keith Olongo today, my prayer is that parents will take a second look at the charge that God has given them to save our families. Amen? We cannot take it lightly. And we must be aware and alert. Somebody say aware and alert. We got to be aware and alert at the things the enemy are using to destroy our families. And need I say, many of those things are in our homes. And if our homes can't be safe, and we call ourselves children of the Most High God, what hope have we? So this dedication today is more than just a dedication. It's a charge, not just to the Olongo family, but it's a charge to us all. Save our families. Amen? Hallelujah. And it says, Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Southside. The Lord our God is what, everybody? One Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God. How? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Amen? Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and these words which I command you this day shall be where, everybody? Shall be where? Come on now, pay attention now. If you're talking, you need to look this way. I want you to get this. I have a passion for the family of God. I have a passion to save our families. Some of you may wonder, what's he talking about? What's he talking about when our kids are leaving the church one by one? What's he talking about when folk barely 18 acting like there's no God? What are we doing as parents, mothers, and fathers? And he shall teach them, the Bible says, diligently to your children, and shall talk about them when you sit down in your house. That includes family worship. Amen. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, every single moment of every day, parents, you need to know what's happening with your children. You need to know what company they're keeping. You need to know who their friends are. You need to know and be able to judge their friend's character. Amen. You ought to have an idea what must be going on in that classroom. The Bible says every single part of the child's life, parents ought to be involved in it, ought to know what is happening. And the Bible says in here in verse 8, and you shall bind them. Say bind them. Bind them for a sign upon your hand. Amen. And you shall, they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, God is saying that children, when they look at their parents, they ought to be reminded of the character of God. Amen. And the Bible even says that you shall write them upon the post of your house and upon your gates. Amen. Everything in your house ought to remind your child about who the Holy God of Israel is. Amen. We must not take our roles lightly. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for the Olongo family. It's not often that when we dedicate a child or a baby, where we can say that both parents are products of Christian education. Amen. And both Dr. John Olongo and Dr. Jackie Olongo are products of Christian education. Amen. I don't have to guess how they're going to raise their child. Amen. As a matter of fact, they're going to do even better than what their parents did with them. Because not only have they learned what their parents have been able to do with them, but they're adding to that. Amen? Hallelujah. And we are so blessed today and happy today for your family that is here. And we can dedicate what you are doing for your children. You dedicated Gabriel. Now you're dedicating Joseph. Amen? Joseph has no idea what's going on. All he sees is people. He's not even paying me any attention. But what we're dedicating today are your hands, your eyes, your mouth, every one of your senses, your heart, to your parenting work by God. Amen? Amen. Praise be to God. Loving Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we are so happy today to exalt you as our Lord and Savior. We're so happy today, O God, to honor you, to worship you, God, to say that you are our everything. We're thankful, Father, for your blessings upon the Olongo family. We're thankful, Father God, for the brothers and sisters that have come, the grandparents, Lord, that have come, and other friends to celebrate this dedication of Joseph Keith Olongo. We say thank you, God, that there are parents today who are still governing their homes with Christian, God-given principles, who safeguard their homes, who safeguard the ears of the home, the eyes of the homes, who safeguard the doors and the windows of their homes to make sure what is done is holy unto the Lord. And so today we ask that you will consecrate Doctors Olongo, that you will give them Holy Ghost power, Lord, not just to raise their children, but to live lives, Lord, that will just amaze even themselves. You are the holy God. There is none else. Consecrate them both as father and mother. And let not the wiles of the devil be able to pierce their shields of faith. We thank you, Father, for a healthy baby. We're grateful, Father, they've given him a biblical name that Yahweh has added. So, Lord, may the support that they get from their family members be one that is led out in prayer, asking God to bless them that they may give God the gifts of raising their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Bless every parent today, that each parent today may stand up and be courageous in holding true the things that are close to the heart of God. We say thank you, God, for this dedication today, not only of Joseph, but also of Doctors John and Jackie Olango and their families. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The cross. I heard it said by someone, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save everybody. You don't have to know a whole lot to tell the story. Just that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Looking at some of the biblical characters, we can see that it's very clear that it's not easy sometimes to love more than one. It seems that if we look at some of the family dynamics, we will see that there's some poor attachment in some cases. Look at Jacob and Esau. Parents found it hard to love both equally. Look at even at Cain and Abel. Even Adam found it hard to love both equally. And so when we look at what God has done, loving everyone equally with such great immense prodigality, that we can't help but wonder, what is this love? So the best way to describe this love is to look at the actions of this love. I've heard it said that your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear a word that you're saying. Love spreads its arms on a Friday. Love walks the streets to heal the sick and raise the dead. Love empties itself of all its unspeakable splendor and puts on the garbs of humanity. Love leaves the palace and goes to the pit. It's a love that goes beyond explanation, more than marvelous. Love that would speak and sparkling stars would fill the heavens, would stand silently and be condemned by man. A love that had no pride other than the purpose of fulfilling its destiny to save each and everyone. Yeah, we're talking about budgeting and we're talking about crisis. Well, this is one time when all and everything is the only answer. So can you say in response to the outpouring of heaven that your pockets don't have enough?
Have you been blessed today? If your cup is not filled and running over yet, don't worry, there's more to come. Amen. Praise be to God. And we want to wish everybody a happy Easter as we focus on the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. There is twice a year that the world, so to speak, is able to witness all around them about why Christ came to this earth. Amen? And even though we know that Jesus did not die on Easter, did he? We know that. However, we still want to emphasize and give an Easter message, so to speak, so that our hearts today and always can have that hope of Jesus Christ. And I've entitled this message, Hope in Times of Hopelessness. Hope in Times of Hopelessness. On the wall was a big target, and on a nearby table were many dots. The teacher told the students to draw a picture of someone they hated or someone who had made them angry, and he would allow them to throw dots at the person's picture. Kathy's girlfriend drew a picture of a girl who stole her boyfriend. Another friend drew a picture of his little brother. Kathy drew a picture of a former friend, putting even great details into her drawing, and even had pimples on the face. Kathy was pleased with the overall effect that she had achieved in her drawing. And so the class lined up and began throwing dots. Some of the students threw their dots with such force that their targets were ripping apart. Kathy looked forward to her turn, but was filled with disappointment when the teacher, because of time limits, asked the students to return to their seats. As Kathy sat thinking about how angry she was because she didn't have a chance to throw any dots at her target, the teacher began removing the target from the wall. Underneath the target was a picture of Jesus. A hush fell over the room as each student viewed the mangled picture of Jesus. Holes and jagged marks covered his face and pierced his eyes. The teacher had to only say the words that are found in Matthew 25 and verse 40. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brothers and sisters, you have done it unto me. The Message Bible puts it, whenever you did one of these things to someone, that someone was me. You did it to me. No other words were necessary. The tear-filled eyes of the students focused only on the picture of Jesus. How does your picture of Jesus look today? It looks the same as the picture of the person that you love or like the least. Do we find ourselves throwing darts at Jesus over and over again by our repetitive sins? On this Easter weekend, I want to leave you with a message of hope. And I'm going to use as our text a passage of scripture that is somewhat perplexing and has even been the source of discouragement for many. Turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrew, found in the New Testament, just a few books before Revelation, the very last book of the Bible. We're looking at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. We need hope in these hopeless times. Come on and say amen. I think about that mother that drove her children into the river. And her oldest, the 8-year-old, escaped when he realized what was happening. That mother needed some hope. Amen? Do you need hope this morning? Do you need something that will give you a boost? Something that will give you strength to keep on going as if what is ahead of you is the very, very best? So let us turn to this text, and hopefully it will clear up some misunderstandings that you've had. In addition, that it will give you hope. Somebody say hope. Hope. And renewed hope in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 6, we're looking at verses 4-6. And if you're able to see somebody who may need a Bible, please be a good neighbor and give them your Bible. Let them see these words of life that are here before us. Words that can transform us. Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up, what would I do? I will draw all men unto me." I will draw all men unto me. Somebody here needs a Bible. Please, somebody needs a Bible. Thank you. Come on, saints, look around you. I know it's all right. We like to be all formal. We are in our Sabbath best, our Easter best. I see some of you got your Easter best on. Look around you. See if somebody does not have a Bible. Amen. Especially our guests who have come. I want everybody to see this word, because the Bible says when Jesus is lifted up, what does he do? He draws all men and women, boys and girls, to him. As a matter of fact, if you don't resist Jesus, oh God, you will be drawn to him. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4-6. It reads, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." Does that verse do to you like it did to somebody I spoke to recently, just make you cringe and wonder, is there hope for me? Because it seems as though the Bible is saying that once a person comes to Jesus Christ, Once a person repents of their sin, once a person gives their heart to Jesus and they fall away from Jesus, that there is no hope for them. The matter of fact, the Bible says here, it uses the word, it's impossible for those who were once enlightened, those who have tasted of the heavenly gift, those who were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, those who have tasted the good word of God. Amen? And even the powers of the world to come. And somewhere along the line, I think everybody ought to say, you know what? I think I can fit in there somewhere, even if it's just tasted of the word of God. You mean if I once come to Christ and then I turn away from Christ, there's no hope for me? Many, believe it or not, have become hopeless and discouraged because of this text. They look at their lives and see all the sins that they have committed and see a text like this and feel that there is no hope. But God wants to give us hope today. Amen? And so we're going to look at this text on this Easter weekend. And I pray that it will allow you to be a more determined child of God. Not to excuse your sins. Somebody say amen. But to allow you to keep on choosing that which is good and that which is right. The key verse in this is verse 6. I'll read that verse again. It says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. The word, there's one word that's may, in the King James Version, that may make a difference if we understand the place of this word. It's the word seeing. The word seeing is not in the original text. And so, if you were to read the text without the word seeing, it would help you understand it. And I think what the biblical writers of the King James Version, what they were trying to do was to deal with the word crucify, and it's written as a participle. A participle generally is a word ending with ing. And so it's the word just crucifying. The word seeing is not there. It's just crucifying to themselves the Son of God. As a matter of fact, if I was to read it as in the order in which the Greek words are presents itself in the passage, it would read like this: and falling away again to renew to repentance, crucifying again for themselves the Son of God, and putting to an open shame. That's how it reads if you were to take just the words and match the English words to the Greek words. Let me read it again. And falling away, again to renew to repentance, crucifying again for themselves the Son of God, and putting to an open shame. And so, if you were to rewrite this verse, using some of the words in the King James Version, it would read like this. It is impossible to renew them again to repentance while they keep on crucifying the Son of God. Does that make a difference? Amen? In other words, that a person cannot say that, oh, you know, God, I've committed 10 sins, but I want you to forgive me for 11. because I want you to forgive me for the one I'm about to do. Amen? In other words, what it's saying, a person who lives in sin, a person who keeps on sinning, and while they are sinning, they are, as it were, crucifying to themselves afresh the body of Jesus Christ. And the message that Paul, who I believe is the writer of the book of Hebrews, wanted to portray to the Jews at that time was, and these were the Jewish Christians, that as a nation they were responsible for crucifying Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? The Jews and the Jewish leaders handed Jesus over to the Romans to crucify him. And so what Paul was trying to portray to them, that when they keep on sinning, it is as if they are crucifying Jesus all over again. And that's what happens when we sin. And especially when we know that what we are, the sins that we are sinning are wrong. It's as if Jesus is taken from heaven back to earth, whipped until he's almost about to die, and then placed back on the cross when we keep on sinning. What it does not mean is that if you come to Jesus Christ, but you may have committed a sin, or you may have committed many, 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 many sins, and may have turned your back on Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean there's no hope for you. Amen? There is hope. Amen? And on this Easter weekend, you have to know that Easter is more than just different colored eggs. It's more than just cute little rabbits. As a matter of fact, those things has absolutely nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus died. As a matter of fact, his death actually coincided with the Passover feast. The Passover this year, I believe, was April 18. And so Passover is the same date every single year. And so Jesus and the actual date of the Passover, or day of the Passover, was a Friday when Jesus died. And we're told that right about the time when Jesus died, that the high priest was in the sanctuary about to slay the Passover lamb at the very time. And right when he was about to slay the Passover lamb, right at the time when Jesus was about to give up the ghost, the high priest heard something rip in the most holy place where nobody was supposed to be. Something, a loud rip. And the Bible says it was the curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place. And it just ripped from top to bottom with nobody there. Just ripped. And I believe the noise of what he heard startled the lamb. The lamb wrestled itself off the altar, ran away. And there was no Passover lamb. I don't know if they got another one, but what you're going to do as a high priest, when you look into the holy place and you look at the curtain that separates the holy from the most holy, and you see it's ripped, signifying that all those ceremonial laws and all those different things that they did in the sanctuary, it had ended. Amen? Why? Because they found their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And people wonder, so why do we celebrate Easter as referring to the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, that's a long story, But let me give you the short version of it. It started way back in the time of Nimrod. You ever heard of a Bible character by the name of Nimrod? The Bible calls him that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. You look in Genesis chapter 10. He was a great man. He was a man that had built most cities, the most cities in the Bible. So if somebody ever asked you a quiz, who built the most cities in the Bible, it was who? It was Nimrod. The Bible said he was just a great man, a great architect. He was a great leader. And people actually looked at him as not just a man, but they looked at him as they did even the pharaohs. You know, when they looked at the pharaohs, they believed when they became a pharaoh, somehow had some divine characteristics in them, and they were not just a man anymore, a mere man, they were a God man. And people looked at Nimrod as a God man. And the story goes that he was supposedly, he died, and they believed that when he died, that he went to the sun. And so, in order to stay connected to Nimrod, they began to worship their sun. He had the sun worshipers, and many of them actually became blind because they kept looking at the sun. And so they had to squint their eyes and many times. And when you squint your eyes and you look at the, if you squint your eyes at any of these lights that we have, just squint your eyes and look. And look what you see. What shape kind of comes out from the lights? Huh? It's the shape of a cross. You ever notice when you squint your eyes, you look at a light, it kind of has a little shape of a cross. Something going to the north, to the south, east, and the west. And believe it or not, that's where the symbol of a cross came from. Okay? Well, Nimrod had this. His wife's name was Semiramis. What was his wife's name? I'm giving you a little brief history. And his wife played a very important role in keeping the people worshiping Nimrod as the sun god. And she actually said that, and she gave herself the title of a goddess. And she says, he's the sun god, I am the moon god. Okay, I'm just giving you a little history to help you understand where this whole comes, where all this comes from. Well, all of a sudden, Semiramis, who's a widow, turns up pregnant. Hello! And she wanted to claim immaculate conception. This is a true story. It's all in the history. And she claimed that the sun god impregnated her, and their son, Tammuz, was born. As a matter of fact, if you look in, we're not going to turn there, but in Ezekiel 8, you will find the women in the nation of Israel weeping for Tammuz. And you see the picture of what we know as Mary and the baby Jesus? See that picture? That picture originally was of Semiramis and Tammuz. And when Constantine changed his empire to a Christian empire, he took all the pagan symbols of worship and all the pictures, and he gave them Christian attributes. That's why you have them. Okay, I mean, I'm giving you a little history lesson. Is that all right? Well, I don't want you to lose what we're talking about. We're talking about hope, but I'll help you. I want you to understand and give you a little education why Easter is Easter. Okay, and so Semiramis had Tammuz, and Tammuz also became like a god. He was the son of God. Hello. All right. You see what the devil is trying to do? Trying to parallel and trying to, knowing the plan of redemption, knowing how Jesus Christ was about to come of a Virgin Mary, it's all that was prophesied. The devil wanted to make a mockery of that and set up a religion, a false religion, that will turn people's heart away from God. So that when Jesus Christ actually came to this earth from heaven to save mankind, do you realize that his own people, the Jewish nation, did not even recognize him? If Jesus came today, would you recognize him? Amen? You know, when I get to heaven, I don't even have to ask, who is Jesus? Come on now. When I get into his presence, the very impressions that I now feel when I'm in the presence of God, when I'm communing with God, that's the same impressions that I will feel when I stand before Jesus. Oh, somebody, I wish somebody would just get to what I'm saying. If you're not spending time now with Jesus Christ, how in the world are you going to try to recognize him? That's another story. But anyhow, the word Ishtar was a name also given to Semiramis. See, and so when she died, they decided to celebrate her death every single year. And they called it the Day of Ishtar. And Ishtar is where we get the word Easter from. But you see, they celebrated Ishtar not on any particular date. They celebrated it the first full moon after the equinox. The first full moon after the equinox. This year, that falls on the date April 24. Is that correct? Next year, it falls on the date April 8. The year after that, it falls on the date in 2013, it falls on March 31. Last year, it fell on the date April 4. Okay? So that's how we get Easter. It's from a pagan holiday, the Day of Ishtar. Amen? People who worshipped the sun. And people often wonder, you know, same thing with Christmas. I'm not going to go into that. But you got to remember that when Jesus Christ came to this earth, that all the false religion, all of them, all the false religions on earth, from the Roman religions to the Asian religions to the African religions that were false because they were still Jews who lived in Asia, who lived in Africa, who lived in Europe, but they were the non-Jewish religions. All of them were false religions, pagan religions, and every single one of them had as their day of worship the day of the sun. Amen? The day of the sun. And how did that creep into the Christian church? When Constantine, in the year 300, in that year, in that decade, or the decades following, he actually converted his entire empire to a Christian empire. But they did not stop their religious practices. Their pagan religious practices. They kept on doing them, and they just gave Christian labels to them. And it was Satan's way of doing away with the authentic and true and genuine leaders of the church, bishops of the church, elders of the church, and replacing them with his own, the emperor's own leaders and elders. He gave them money, paid them good salaries, paid off different churches so that they will just follow what he wanted them to follow. It was a political thing, but the devil was using it. And what the devil was actually doing was continuing his false worship that began from the worship of Nimrod. You got that? And so how do you have pretty much 95% of Christians today who will honor Sunday as their day of church corporate worship. Why? Only because of tradition. Only because of what happened in history. Because after Constantine had declared his empire as a Christian empire in that year of the century of 300, 200 years later, another emperor comes along and forced Christians to worship the way the emperor decided they ought to worship. And that went on, brothers and sisters, for over 1,000 years. And it wasn't until around the year 1700, almost 1800, when the power of the, not only the emperor, by then there were no emperors, the power of the pope was broken over the people, and the people were allowed to worship as they pleased and according to the word of God. And when people started reading the word of God for themselves, because for over 1,000 years the word of God was taken away from them and they could not read it, not even the priests who were taught in the seminaries at that time were able to read the word of God for themselves. But as the power of the pope was broken, people began to read the word of God for themselves, and they saw that many of the things that they were doing were not things that were in the Bible. As a matter of fact, were things against the Bible, and they corrected them. That's where you have the what was called the Protestant Reformation. The word Protestant comes from the word protest. They were protesting against the errors in the Bible. And I ask you today, do you know your Bible? Amen? My. If God hid $1 million in your Bible, in one of those pages, would you find it? Huh? Or has your Bible become just like the furniture in your house that you dust off now and then? You got to know your Bible, because the devil will use the Bible to try to deceive people. So if you don't know your Bible, you can be deceived by people who come to you, who knock on your door, open the Bible to you, and show you something in the Bible that looks right. It looks pretty good. But if you have not read for yourself, guess what? So that's why we have Easter. Christmas. Christmas is a similar thing. Okay? But as Christians, we don't just say, oh, turn our nose up on it. We use it as an opportunity to witness. Amen? Because there's some of you today who would not be in church if it was not Easter weekend. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. That's right. So you better believe we're going to preach a resurrection sermon today. Amen. Give somebody resurrection power to rise up from where, how they're living. Because check this out, saints. Do you realize that there are so many people in the church today whose lives mirror people in the world? They drink alcohol. They use drugs. They're sleeping around. They cuss people out. They use all kind of language. They hate. They're jealous. They envy. I mean, they just mirror people, and they dress it in Christianity. The only difference is they go to church. The only difference is they may sing in somebody's choir. The only difference is they may play somebody's keyboard. The only difference is they may usher in somebody's church. But if you look at their lives, they're just like the people of the world. Well, this weekend, God wants to give you resurrection power. What is the resurrection power? That if you are sinning and you're living in sin and you can't stop sinning, I know somebody who can put a stop to any sin in your life. Hallelujah. And we're so bold in our sinning today that we don't care who knows. Amen. Where church has become almost like a club. But what this text is saying is that when we keep on sinning, we are, as it were, crucifying afresh all over again, Jesus Christ. Do you want to be free from sin? Do you hate sin? I'm even talking about your pet sin. You know why we do little pet sins, don't we? You know why they're called pet sins, don't they? Don't we? You know why? Because everybody now and then has their lows. Come on and say amen. Everybody now and then has a time when they're feeling just down in the dumps. Would somebody help me here today? Everybody has that time when they even don't want anybody around them. They're feeling, they got, you know what it says? I got the blues. Right? And what the devil makes sure is that everybody has a sin that when they're down in the dumps, that's the sin they commit. Why? Why is it a pet sin? Because that sin brings comfort to you. Why is it a pet sin? Because that sin brings some kind of relief. Why is it a pet sin? Because that sin makes you feel better. Amen? And instead of having a pet sin, you need to have a pet savior. Come on and say amen. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ will send the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and he will not leave you without comfort. When you need comfort, when you feel empty inside, when you feel low, when you feel like nobody cares, when it feels like nobody loves you, all you will say, that is a lie. I know somebody loves me, and I know somebody who even loves me more, and that person is Jesus Christ. Kind of reminds me of a nursery rhyme. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. You ever feel like Humpty Dumpty? And I said, where in the world did they get this Humpty Dumpty from? And I did a little digging. It's okay to do a little digging as long as you don't dig dirt. I thought I would get a resounding amen. That's okay. But legend has it that Humpty Dumpty was the name given to a very big and powerful cannon gun back in the 17th century. Had this cannon gun, big, powerful. They named it Humpty Dumpty. And it was mounted on a tower, on a wall, in a castle. And in a civil war that they had in England, the enemy blasted the tower, and Humpty Dumpty, the huge cannon gun, fell to the ground. And all the king's men, they even had to use their horses to try to pull Humpty along. But they couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. You may have sat on a strong spiritual wall at one time in your life. Do you remember that? Do you remember that time you came running down to the altar? Do you remember that time when you just could not wait to get baptized? Do you remember that time when you first started reading your Bible and you felt a connection with Jesus Christ? You were sitting on your strong Humpty Dumpty spiritual wall. But one day, you had a great fall. And that fall was so great, you thought it was all over. You may have sat on a great spiritual wall of being reared in a Christian home. You may have sat on a great wall of attending even church school. You may have sat on the wall of even being in the church choir, being involved in the church. You may have sat on a great wall of working faithfully in the church. You may have sat on a great wall of being drug and alcohol free. You may have sat on a great wall of being a virgin. You may have sat on a great wall of having a good marriage. You may have sat on a great wall of having a good job. You may have sat on a great wall of owning a house. You may have even sat on a great wall of having a healthy body. Whatever your wall you sat on was, you had a great fall. And more than once. And as hard as you tried, you couldn't put yourself back together again. Do I have a witness today? Can somebody relate to what I'm saying? Not even the king's horses and the king's men can put you back together again. If President Obama and his entire cabinet came to your house, he could not even help you. Family, friends, church members, even preachers couldn't put you back together again. Not even counselors, teachers, lawyers, doctors, politicians, rehab programs, juvenile halls, prisons, halfway houses. They couldn't put you back together again. But I got news for you. Nudge somebody and say, got some news today. They could not, but the king can. You've been going to the king's men. You've been going to the king's women. You've been going to all the wrong sources instead of going to the king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalms 30 verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Oh my goodness, the word of God is doing surgery on somebody's heart today. Joel chapter 2 verse 25 through 28 says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. Does somebody believe the word of God this morning? You shall praise the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. And it shall come to pass, Jesus says, afterward, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Don't you know when God said these words that the very people that he was saying it to were in idolatry and paganism? They had left God. They had forsaken God. They were worshiping other gods. But God promised them that upon all my people, I will pour out my spirit. Hallelujah. Psalm 40 verse 2, it says, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Do you feel sometimes you're like in no man's land when it comes to Jesus Christ? Do you feel that when you look at your picture of Jesus, he has dots everywhere on his face because of all the hatred you have in you, all the jealousy, all the envy, and all the frustration that you pour out on people? And yet you say you love God, yet you say I'm going to heaven, but you feel helpless sometimes. You feel hopeless when it comes to dealing with those sins that keeps turning you into a spiritual cycle. There's hope. There's hope. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Not because you all of a sudden now are behaving yourself. No, only because he has called you out of what, everybody? Darkness into his marvelous light. And the text, I believe, that kind of sums it up for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone belongs to Christ, if anyone joins themselves with Christ Jesus, he or she is a very brand new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hope in times of hopelessness. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Do you need hope today? Do you need to be reminded and go back to that place when you really first loved Jesus Christ? He loves you. There's absolutely nothing you can do to get him to stop loving you. And he has been sent to rescue you, to save you, and to keep you in a saved relationship. Hallelujah. Isn't this about the time that we need to renew our commitment with God? Isn't this a time when we need to put aside and say, Lord, I know I'm doing these things, but I can't stop. But recognize, God, you can stop me. Recognize, God, you can create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. No matter what anybody does to me, it is no excuse for me to hate. It is no excuse for me to be jealous. It is no excuse for me to have envy or malice within my heart. I am a child of God. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I belong to Jesus. And I will behave as a child of God only because of the grace of God in my life. I live in a world of sin. I am in the world, but I'm not of the world. I am a child of God. I can't even watch my favorite TV program that is good and it doesn't have any filth in it, but keeps getting interrupted with worldly, impure commercials. I am in the world, but not of the world. When all the world is chasing the stars, the movie stars, when all the world is stargazing, the movie stars, the singing stars, when all the world is talking about the different stars, I am looking at the one and only star, the star of David, Jesus Christ. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. God has resurrection power for you today. You once were dead in your sins. God can bring you alive, brand new. How many of you want that resurrection power in your life? Glory, hallelujah. That resurrection power, unless it is renewed, unless that resurrection power is just, it's like our heart. If your heart stops, you can have a heart, but if your heart stops beating, you're dead. That resurrection power, like your heart, has to keep beating and keep resounding in you. If it didn't, self will creep right back in and will start doing all those old and bad things all over again. Do you want that resurrection power in you? Do you want to be a real Christian? So that when you see your picture of Jesus, there are no dots on his face.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed. and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.